Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Nisbet, 12th Hour Apostolic Secretary and Congregation outside the 12th Hour Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is April 30, 2017. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. I'm weak but thou strong. Yes, Lord, keep me from all wrong. Oh, this satisfied is now. As I am on, let me walk close to thee. This world of toil and snare, if I falter, yeah, who cares? With me my burden shares, let not be to your land but thee. When my feeble life is old, and for me will be no more. Guide me gently, save me all. Thou keep me sure to thy shore. Touch the closer walk with me. Grand and Joshua is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, yeah, let it be. Number 11, Gentiles, on Romans 28, Acts 28. Let's start with verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness. For they came to the farm, received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer who, though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. All right, that's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Either he's a murderer or he's a god. He couldn't be a holy man. Just either one or the other. People and their crazy way of thinking. Verse 7. And the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. And after 3 months, we departed in the ship of the Alexandria, which had wintered in the isle, whose sign was Castor and Pollux. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried there 3 days. And from thence we fished a compass and came to Regium, and after one day the south wind blew, and we came the next day to Puteoli, where we found brethren, and were desired to tarry with them 7 days, and so we went toward Rome. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us far as Appia, Forum, and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked Yahweh and took a courage. And when we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him. Paul preaches at Rome, and it came to pass that after 3 days, Paul called the chief of the Jews together, and when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people or customs of our fathers, yet have I delivered prisoners from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans, who when they had examined me, would have let me go, because there was no cause of death in me. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained to appeal unto Caesar, not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. They said unto him, We neither receive letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came, showed, or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many unto him and into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified of the kingdom of the Yahweh, persuading them concerning Yahshua, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not, and when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that Paul had spoken one word, well spake the Holy Spirit by Isaiah the prophet unto our father, saying, Go unto this people and say, Hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. There's your bottom line right there. To be healed. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of Yahweh is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves, and Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hard house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of Yahweh and teaching those things which concern the Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Okay, that's the end of it. The book of Acts. Would you believe we finally got through it? What a wonderful trip for the Gentiles. Acts 28, it says, Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of Yahweh is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. Now admonition, that's a good promise. That's a wonderful revelation. And I'll tell you what, I went to the Gentiles today, this first day of the week, Sunday. I went again to a church I'd never visited before. Another Methodist church over in another town, Georgetown. And I want to see what they had to offer. and I got to participate in their Sunday school services, but not the sermon, because they had a threat of a fire. It's having an electrical shortage in the light bulb wiring in the ceiling, and it put out a terrible smell throughout the church, and so they called the fire department, and they made everybody get out of the church, and so I came home. There was no sermon to be heard. Already saw enough, though. I saw enough of heathenism going on. Charismatic, strictly loyalist to the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church is. And so, I learned some things. So I was impressed to go there. And I had to witness for myself certain things. And I did, and I came home, and they always saying to me that I must publish things or do something to get the word out to the whole Gentile world, starting here in our area. And the time will come when no doubt we'll be working full time, 24 hours a day, other than sleeping. Now let's go to Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, and to the end you may be established. Okay, that's Romans 1:11. Let's just go ahead now and read the first verse in the whole chapter of Romans chapter 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Yeshua Messiah, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of the Yahweh, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Yeshua, the Savior Yeshua Messiah, which was made a seed of the David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of Yahweh with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience unto the faith among all nations. For this, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Yahshua Messiah. And to all that be in Rome, beloved of Yahweh, called to be saints, grace unto you and peace from Yahweh our Father and the Savior Yahshua the Messiah. First I thank my Elohim of through Yahshua Messiah for you all, that your faith in the blood of the Yahshua is spoken of you throughout the whole world. Most usually when I see that word faith, I know what it's referring to. For Yahweh is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, and without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests even if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of Yahweh to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, and to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that often times I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both unto the Greeks and unto the barbarians, both unto the wise and unto the unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Yahshua, for it is the power of Yahweh unto salvation, unto everyone that believeth, unto the Jew first, and also unto the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of Yahweh revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by his faith. Yahweh's wrath against sin, for the wrath of Yahweh is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness of of men who hold the truth and the unrighteousness. Let's do that again. That's good enough. I left out the word ungodliness. Because that which may be known of Yahweh is manifest in them, for Yahweh has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even unto His eternal power and Yahweh head, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew Yahweh, they glorified Him not as Yahweh, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible Yahweh into an image made like unto corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore Yahweh also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause Yahweh gave them up unto vile affections, and even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge, Yahweh gave them over unto reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of Yahweh, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient unto parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of Yahweh, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. End of chapter 1 of Romans. Let's get on into chapter, 2. Start with verse 1. Yahweh's impartial judgment. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. But we are sure that the judgment of Yahweh is according unto the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of Yahweh? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness, and forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Yahweh leadeth thee unto repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of the wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of the Yahweh, who will render unto every man according unto his deeds, and unto them who by the patient continuance and well doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every sort of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace unto every man that worketh good to the Jew first and also unto the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons of Yahweh, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just for Yahweh, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile excusing, or accusing, or else excusing one another. And the day when Yahweh shall judge the secrets of men by the Yahshua Messiah according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of Yahweh, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself. Thou that preachest a man should not steal, lest thou steal. Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking of the law, dishonorest thou Elohim? For the name of Yahweh is blasphemed among the Gentiles, or through you, as it is written. For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thou circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, that's your Gentiles, keep this righteousness of the law, that's that, and the righteousness of the law is accepting the blood of Yahshua and performing their vows according to the appointed time of the sanctuary of the law of Moses. And that's also keeping the holy feast days, the Passover, Pentecost, the Atonement, Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, and the new moons are every month, 12 months out of the year. That's what is called, if the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, and that's the only way they can keep the righteousness of the law, because therein they receive the blood of Yahshua for a remission of their sins, just like it is supplied also for the Jews that believe and follow the same ordained system of true worship of the sanctuary of the law of Moses. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, Gentiles, keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? So, if you keep the righteousness of the law, and you're uncircumcised, it's counted for circumcision. And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter. Whose praise is not of men, but of Yahweh. Okay, that's the end of chapter 2 of Romans. Let's go right on into chapter 3. Okay, it says, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of Yahweh. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of Yahweh without effect? Yahweh forbid, yea. Let Yahweh be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sins, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of Yahweh, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. Yahweh forbid, for then how shall Yahweh judge the world? For if the truth of Yahweh hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, and no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteousness, no, not one. Now, who is he talking about? He's talking about those Jews and Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes of the law, which are interpreters of the law of the Pharisees. He's talking about all of those, because David prophesied about those that were not righteous. He called them fools. And he said, there's none of them righteous. And that's in the start with Psalm 53. It says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and that did seek Yahweh. Now he's talking about the children of men. He's not talking about the sons of Yahweh. He's talking about those that are born of the carnal flesh of men that are carnal. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Not a one of those that are born of the flesh, like Ishmael was born of the flesh under Abraham. Yahweh couldn't use him. He was born of the will of the flesh. So that's what he's talking about here. Psalm 53:4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Says question mark. Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon Yahweh. There were they in great fear, where no fear was, for Yahweh hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. Thou hast put them to shame, because Yahweh hath despised them. Where's another place that they returned to shame? Isaiah 66:5. Another place where they returned to shame. Let's see here. It says that, hear the word of the Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahweh be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and they shall be ashamed. So what I just read here in Psalms 53, it says in verse 5, there were they in the great fear, where no fear was. There wasn't any fear there, but they were in great fear, for Yahweh hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. And thou hast put them to shame, because Yahweh hath despised them. Okay, who was the one that encamped against us at the house of David down in Carmel? It was the house of Esau, Rodeseb Johnson at the head. But it said, Yahweh hath scattered the bones of him that encampeth against thee. So, when we were separated, Boris Johnson and his entourage, they encamped against us. They did everything they could to discredit us and destroy us verbally. Thou hast put them to shame because Yahweh hath despised them. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion when Yahweh bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice and Israel shall be glad. Alright, that's the end of Psalm 53, and David speaks about the same kind of language in Psalm 14. He says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no Yahweh. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Yahweh looketh down from heaven upon the children of men. You hear that children of men again, see? They're the carnal. The sons of Yahweh talks about there in Genesis chapter 6. Elect upon the daughters of men. In other words, the carnal unconverted. And thought they were good and took for them wives. Well, that's what we got here in Psalms 14:2. It says, the Yahweh looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek Yahweh. They were all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread, and call not upon the Yahweh? Therefore were they in great fear, for Yahweh is in the generation of the righteous. You have shamed the counsel of the poor, because Yahweh is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of the Zion, when the Yahweh bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. All right. Let us now go back to Romans chapter 3. Let's see if I can pick up where I left off here. It says in Romans chapter 3, that's verse 5, for if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of Yahweh, what shall we say? Is Yahweh unrighteous? He take his vengeance? I speak as a man. Yahweh forbid. For then how shall his son Yahshua judge the world? For he sent his son to judge the world. I said Yahweh a while ago, but it's actually his son. For if the truth of the Yahweh hath more abounded through my law unto his glory, why yet am I also a judge as a sinner? Verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We already read that. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after the Yahweh. They are all gone out of the way, they are all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. We just confirmed that in Psalms 14 and Psalms 53. Their throat is an open sepulchre. Matter of fact, Paul was quoting from David on all of this. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of Yahweh before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before Yahweh. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Righteousness by the faith and the blood. Romans 21, chapter 3, verse 21. But now the righteousness of Yahweh without the law. Okay, let's do it again. But now the righteousness of the Yahshua, the high priest, without the law of Moses. But now the righteousness of the Yahshua without the ceremonial law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Okay, what law is it talking about here? The law of the Spirit. Now let me read that verse 21 again. But now the righteousness of the Yahshua without the ceremonial law is manifested, being witnessed by the law of the Spirit, Romans 8, verse 2, of the life that is in Yahshua and of the prophets. Even the righteousness of Yahweh, which is by the faith of the Yahshua, let's do that again. Even the righteousness of the Yahweh, no, of the Yahshua, which is by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. There's your righteousness. By faith. Faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Alright. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, what did they have faith in back there? It says in verse 24 and 25, and the Yahweh commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Yahweh are good for our always. Good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day, and it shall be our righteousness. If we observe, do all these commandments before the Yahshua, our Savior, as he hath commanded us. Why is it that we do it before the Yahshua, our Savior? Because he's a high priest in the sanctuary, and the sinner has to meet the high priest of the sanctuary in the outer court on the day that he brings his sin offerings to offer up for sin in the place of his sin, so he can get remissions of sin on a daily basis, and then pardon at the end of the year on the Day of Atonement. So that's your righteousness if you observe, do all these commandments. Okay. So now let's go back to Romans chapter 3. Verse 22, even the righteousness of the Yahshua, which is by the faith of Yahshua Messiah, unto all, and upon all them that believe in the law of the Spirit, the blood of the Yahshua, that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned. Right, so it says, for all have sinned, and come short of the glory of Yahweh. Okay, so that means all the Gentiles and all the Jewish people, all people of all races, kindred, tongue, and people, when they're called to judgment, is because they have all sinned. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of Yahweh, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Yahshua Messiah. Okay. Whom Elohim has set forth to be a propitiation through the faith in His blood, for the declaring of His righteousness, for the remission of the sins of the past, through the forbearance of Yahweh. To declare, I say at this time, of His righteousness, that He might be justified, and the justifier of him which believeth in the Yahshua. Where is boasting then? It is exceeded. By what law? Of works. Nay, but by the law of the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by the faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the Elohim of the Jews only? Is he not also the Gentile? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is the one Yahweh which shall justify the circumcision by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, and the uncircumcision through the faith in the blood of the Yahshua. Why is it by the faith in one, and why is it through the faith in another? The Gentiles have to accept the plan of salvation through the Jews. That's why it says through the faith. Faith that the Jews taught them. I'm talking about the apostolic Nazarene of the apostles and their followers that believed in the blood of the everlasting covenant of Yahshua, the new and living way. So, okay, let's read that verse 30 again, Romans 3. Seeing it is one Yahweh which shall justify the circumcision by the faith in the blood, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, through the faith in the blood by the disciples. Lot accepted the plan of salvation through the blood of the everlasting covenant by Abraham. Abraham received it directly from Yahweh, and Saul got it by Abraham. Okay? The example of the Abraham. This is now chapter 4 of Romans. It says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by the works, he had whereof to be to glory, but not before Yahweh. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed Yahweh, and is counted unto him for righteousness. Now unto him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt. I'm gonna back up here a minute and redo something here. To have righteousness, you have to believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant. Wherever it is portrayed at, whether it's through the animal sacrifice or whether it's through Yahshua, you have to accept the blood that points to the everlasting Redeemer, Yahshua, and the end time. So it says in verse 2 of Romans 4, for if Abraham were justified by their works, by just offering up an animal sacrifice, he hath whereof the glory, but not for Yahweh. But if Abraham were justified by their works, by performing his vows faithfully as he is commanded by law, to offer up sacrifices on a daily basis, if there is a need for whatever. Okay, verse 3, Romans 4. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed Yahweh. He believed in the Yahshua. He believed in the blood of the Yahshua. This is really what it all amounted to. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. See, when it just said Abraham believed God, that don't tell me anything. But you tell me Abraham is with the believing in the Yahshua, his son, and as it was counted unto him, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. The only way that it would benefit anyone to believe in the Son is to accept His blood that He proffers for every repentant sinner. That's the only way that you can have righteousness. Now unto him that worketh his reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But unto him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the unrighteous, his faith is counted for righteousness. I'll say that again. But unto him that worketh not, in other words, to him that don't offer up the animal sacrifices, because they're not needed anymore after the cross, but believeth on him that justifieth the unrighteous, and Yahshua is the only one that can justify the unrighteous. That's if he has some blood to do it with, but he first has to have the sinner to come and repent first before the Son can offer his blood and justify the unrighteous. His faith is counted for righteousness. His faith in the blood of Yahshua, high priest in the first apartment in the heavenly sanctuary, his faith in that ordained system of true worship, believing in it for salvation, is counted unto him for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom Yahweh imputes righteousness without the works of the law, without the offering of the animal sacrifices. Because they've already been taken care of according to Ephesians 2:15. That middle wall of partition has been taken down, that middle curtain has been drawn aside. Okay, and Colossians 2:14, where it says, let no man judge you. And observing of these holy days by law, they're all called Sabbath days, new moons and the whole thing. All called Sabbath days, and it says, let no man judge in regard of the Sabbath or the new moon. Besides, it's not man's place to judge, especially the unrighteous man. And that's who ends up judging the righteous, is always these unrighteous people. Let's go ahead here in Romans 4:6. It says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom Yahweh imputes righteousness without the works of the law of the old covenant, the animals sacrificing, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Well, that's a take from Psalm 32, David, 1 through 5. Blessed is a man unto whom the Yahweh will not impute sin. That's the same place. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision? Also, for we say that faith is reckoned unto Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. What does that mean? I'm going to go back and read that to you a little bit slower now, because for the most part, it don't make any sense, what it said. But when you understand it, explained the meaning of it, what it means, then it's a different story. It should come up this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. Abraham was not circumcised until he was 99 years old. But Yahweh called him out of Ur of the Chaldees at the age of 75, 24 years earlier, because he says, you're righteous. You're the only one I found righteous here in this wicked Babylon. Now, Abraham was uncircumcised, but he was righteous. He was following the ordained system of true worship. And he was counting on him for righteousness. And I just got to reading to you a while ago. Okay. Blessed cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also. For we say that faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, when Abraham was in uncircumcision, is what caused Yeshua to call him and use him, because he knew that when he called for Abraham to be circumcised, he would do it. For another special reason. And so Abraham did it at the age of 99. Okay. Verse 10. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision? Now that's a question mark. How was it then reckoned? Question mark. When he was in circumcision? Or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That's when righteousness was reckoned unto Abraham, when he was in uncircumcision at the age of 75. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet been uncircumcised. Right, I was uncircumcised until I was 48. So I received the seal of righteousness of the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So, that's the reason why Abraham was declared righteous in the uncircumcision. So all the uncircumcised Gentiles of the world in the last days, they might believe in this record account of Abraham, and by believing, they can become righteous, receive of the blood of Yeshua, get the remission of their sins, pardon, and but they have to accept the truth. These uncircumcised people, they have to accept the truth from the circumcised people. And the circumcised people, at one time or another, were uncircumcised. Now, true, the law of Moses says you're supposed to be circumcised on the eighth day, but all have not done this. All could not do it. There were different circumstances prevailing that hindered that to take place. For everyone. But Yahweh keeps his hand on his preordained people, and when he calls someone, he knows sooner or later they've got to go through this rite of circumcision. I did at the age of 48, and that was about 23 years ago. Now, it says, though they be not in circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed also unto them also. So it says if they accept the righteousness of the law and perform their vows, then even though they're uncircumcised, it's counted unto them for righteousness. It's counted unto them for circumcision and righteousness. Verse 12, Romans 4, and the father of circumcision unto them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, in the everlasting covenant of our, the faith of our Abraham, our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised, which he had been yet uncircumcised. I just told you earlier that Abraham was righteous at 75, but he was uncircumcised. Well, here it is right here, in Romans 4:12. And the father of the circumcision unto them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith, of that faith. What faith is that? Faith in the ordained system of the true worship that our forefathers started with coming out of Egypt, all the way down. No, let's back up. All the way from Abraham, all the way from Noah, that faith, the steps of that faith, walk in the steps of that faith that Noah exemplified and he came out of the Ark of the Covenant. And then Abraham came along several hundred years later and he carried on the same thing. And then Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Moses, and then all the prophets and apostles down to the cross, and then Yahshua, and then the disciples, preordained. So they all walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. For Abraham had it when he was yet uncircumcised, but he was born following the ordained system of true worship. He followed that for 75 years from the day he was born. His parents taught it to him. When he became an age, he carried on the system. And then he was called at age 75, and then 24 more years later, he was called to be circumcised as a seal of the circumcision for righteousness. In other words, showing that Yahweh has secured this uncircumcised person to be the father of many nations, of many people. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not unto Abraham or unto his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of the faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant. For if they which are of the law be heirs, made faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of the faith, that it might be by grace unto the end. The promise might be sure unto all the seed, not unto that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of the Abraham in the blood of the everlasting covenant, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. So before him whom he believed, even Yahweh, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in the hope that he might believe, that he might become the father of many nations, according unto that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in the faith, he considered not his own body now dead, for he is about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, for he staggered not at the promise of Yahweh through the unbelief, but was strong in the faith in the blood of the everlasting covenant, giving glory unto Yahweh. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also unto whom it shall be imputed if we believe in the blood of the everlasting covenant like Abraham did, on him that raised up Yahshua our Savior from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification by the blood of Yahshua. That ends chapter 4 of Romans. Let's go right on into chapter 5. It says, therefore, being justified by the faith in the blood of the Yahshua, we have peace with the Yahweh through our Savior Yahshua the Messiah, by whom also we have access by the faith in the blood into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of the Yahweh. And not only so, but we glory in the tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. For because the love of Yahweh is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in the due time Yahshua died for the unrighteous. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man one would even dare to die. But Yahweh commends his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Yeshua died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled unto Yahweh by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in the Yahweh to receive Yeshua the Messiah, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I just read that to you, and come show the glory of Yahweh. For unto the, till the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigns from Abraham unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after this similitude of the Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come, but not as the offense, so also as the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of Yahweh and the grace by the gift by the grace, which is by the one man, Yeshua the Messiah hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was not by one unto condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, as by the offense of the one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto the justification of life. For as by the one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Yeshua Messiah our Savior. That ends chapter 5 of Romans. How beautiful heaven must be.
We read of a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths Yah's word he has forgiven. How beautiful heaven must be. Beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Fair haven at rest for the weary, a beautiful heaven must be. Your waters of laughter flowing, and all who are great in the deep clean, the jewels of the splendor flowing, a beautiful heaven must be, a beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. Haven of rest for the weary, a beautiful heaven must be. For the angels so sweetly are singing, a bird of beautiful scene. Sweet chords from their low harps are ringing, a beautiful heaven must be, a beautiful heaven must be, the home of the happy and free. Thank you.